Disney's stock takes a big jump, and there is plenty of news to catch up on. This is coming up on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 438 of Traveling with the Mouse. I am your host. My name is John, and I am joined, as always, by my longtime co-host, Adam.
What's up, everybody? Yeah, we go way back.
Go way back.
Like to 2006 back.
I can see right now your quest to be a successful archaeologist is complete.
Yes, I stole that back from Belloc. Belloc.
Yeah. Since this is pretty much an audio podcast, you can't see that he's pointing at the golden idol from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
So. Yeah. I just need a bag of sand so I can make sure I weigh it correctly. But
and he was drinking from the cup of Christ from the Holy Grail.
Yes.
We won't know. We really won't know if that works or not until much older.
To your good health, yeah.
Or if maybe he doesn't age.
Yeah. So far, it didn't heal any of my wounds, but...
Although it's kind of... I guess it's kind of doesn't work, right? I mean, Henry died, so...
Yeah, that's right. Well, I guess... So, yeah, what is the... does he have to keep... Oh.
You have to keep drinking of it?
Because they took it past the seal, it doesn't work anymore? Is that why?
Maybe. Maybe it's
Elsa
no longer.
Took it past the seal, it lost its powers after that.
And not the Elsa that can let it go, but a different Elsa.
Yes, Elsa.
Although she was blonde and thin.
Technically, Indy let go of Elsa?
Yeah.
He let it go because her glove slipped out of his hand.
Well, she wouldn't. Actually, and then it's interesting because what were the words that, now that I'm thinking about this, what were the words that Henry said? He said, let it go.
Right. Indiana. Let it go.
I think somebody ripped off Raiders now, I'm starting to think. I mean, she was blonde. She had a similar figure. Anyway. Wait,
who wrote that song, right? I forgot the because they won an Oscar for that, didn't they? Let It Go and whatever.
Yeah, I don't remember who wrote it. Movie.
The husband and wife, I think. Anyway, they were watching Last Crusade.
Yeah, speaking That's of which, this is a pretty good segue, but I don't see it on my list. I've been seeing that... Lin-Manuel Miranda is not going to come back for Moana 2 to write the songs. He's not going to write the songs for Moana, the second Moana, supposedly. I thought they were going to do a live-action Moana, personally.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, they're going to do a sequel of the animated. But I think they're working on the live-action one, too. I just don't know how long it's going to take before they do that one.
Why, though?
It's just... What gets me is it took them so long to figure out that was popular or successful. Like, I don't understand. Like, it came out in, what, 16? I mean, that's how long it's been. That was 8 years ago now. It's just another example of just how out of touch they are.
Yeah. So now that they know it's popular, beat it into the ground.
Let's go back a couple of... days from, you know, going back from some things that's happened over the last few days. The hands-on build your lightsaber experience has returned to Tatooine Traders at Hollywood Studios.
I didn't know it was down.
Which,
but
well, it's probably a while since you needed a new saber.
Correct.
Usually you only have to rebuild a lightsaber if you get a hand cut off. So, or an arm.
Right. I didn't construct a new lightsaber, but I do have the Holy Grail, so if I do cut a limb off, I can grow it back with this, I assume? I don't know. Instead of getting a robot arm and just drink some grail water.
Right. So you can kind of do the mix and match thing again. What the experience has been open for years, but it never fully recovered from the COVID era protocols, which prevented the guests from having the hands-on experience. So during COVID era, cast members would handle the parts instead of the guests.
I see. I'd rather handle my own parts. So, for lightsabers, you know.
I don't know. I mean, having somebody handle my parts for me.
Anyway. I mean, depends on the person.
We all know you love monorail news, so Monorail Peach was removed from service for second round of refurbishment. So I guess you give it the paint job that they did for like black and what?
Right. Okay, I got to figure out what. So how many rounds of refurbishment are they going to have to do before we get new trains? Like at some point.
I don't
know.
Just
give us new trains.
Like, I'm beginning to wonder if they'll ever, if like, if something happens to these trains that they're like, just won't replace them. Like they'll just like, will they totally let the monorail go at some point?
I don't know. Makes you worried.
It does make you think, because it's been, when was the last new train? 1992?
Yeah. It was, yeah.
Yeah. So we're going 42 years. No, 32 yeah. years. Right.
I was trying to think, the ones that crashed in 09, I feel like they rebuilt most of them, or parts of the trains. Like, that's kind of the newest, where, because they retired Purple and, was it Pink, what were the two that crashed?
I don't remember. I know it was on the Epcot line.
Yeah. One of them was Purple, and I forgot what the other one was.
And it was just a mere days before we actually took a trip there.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, they had rebuilt a couple of the cabins, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So those are brand new. Well, were brand new. Those are the newest parts of a monorail.
Well, not by choice.
Right. So yeah. Since then, like, it's basically the same trains from the 90s and late 80s. But
so I thought crazy. This one was interesting. It says January 2024 Disney World wait times down slightly from last year. I mean, I think most people that have been there say that they can't really tell the difference. But when they say slightly, just to give you an example here. So
yeah.
In terms of raw numbers, data from Thrill Data shows that the January 2024 average wait time was 40 minutes versus the 2023 average wait time of 42 minutes.
Huge difference.
That is a drop of almost 5% year over year.
Yeah.
That wouldn't feel like it, though, to a guest, though.
Yeah. Especially if you're in a standby line, you're not going to notice that difference at all.
The range of average posted wait times was from 23 minutes to 60 minutes in 2024, compared to 30 minutes to 65 minutes in 2023.
Okay.
So we're talking
a little bit.
What, 5 to 7 minutes?
Yeah. Which
you
can
might
add up.
Be more noticeable, right?
Yeah.
You know, there was some exceptionally poor weather in early January, so maybe that contributed to some of that.
Yeah.
I just got a feeling the people that have been there, they don't really feel like much of a difference. I don't think anybody's been lately and think, hey, it's so slow. So
yeah, it wasn't like super slow a couple weeks ago when we were there, but it was definitely chilly. It's been a chillier January down there from what I can gather. It has been rainy here and there, but that's not unusual. But the colder weather, I don't love. I mean, I would rather be there when it's 90 during the day than when it's like 55. Personally, that's
55 you know in Central Florida can be cold. I don't know what it is.
Right,
it's something. It's like the temperature feels cold. It's like they talk about the humidity making it feel hotter. Well, it seems to have the same effect in the winter.
Yeah, the opposite. The cold feels colder for some reason.
Right.
Yeah, and 55 feels like 35 here. Like,
I remember being there in December of 17. I went to Animal Kingdom, I think, on a day that it just had turned cold. And it was saying that it was only in the 50s, but it felt frigid.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt cold. So.
Yeah. I don't know what it is either. It's, yeah, like here where we live, it's like sometimes in the sun in the, like the 30s and 40s, it doesn't feel that cold to me.
Right,
maybe
yeah.
I'm just used to it.
But in Central Florida, it feels...
But yeah, it's like, yeah, windy and frigid, like, miserably.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I think that humidity thing has the opposite effect when it's wintertime. I think, you know, it usually makes the hot hotter, but it also makes the cold colder.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Well,
I'd rather
it
be hot. Yeah. I just would rather it be hot.
Like, some like
I
it hot. Deal,
I can, I do. I do like it hot.
I actually prefer it to be slightly warm. I would rather deal with the warm than I would deal with cold. That's just.
Yeah. Same here.
I know people always say, make the comment, I can only take off so many clothes. Okay, whatever.
I mean,
you can always put on more. Okay.
Yeah, but it's, you're still kind of miserable at that point.
Right. I like it when I can wake up early, like the sun is just now, it's just like first light, like Tiger when he liked to practice. And it be not frigid, not where I can, not where I have to bundle up. So
if I could wear shorts all day, short sleeve shirt even all day, and not have to put on a jacket, take off a jacket.
Yeah.
That would be, that's my ideal.
There you go.
I'd rather be too hot than too cold. So that's just
and
me.
Also one day during this last week, Tron had an uncharacteristically bad operating day.
So, what are the details on that?
So I don't remember what day this was. Let's see. I think it was February the 4th. It remaining closed for more than 4 hours in the morning, opening around 1:30 in the afternoon.
Dang, for and the first time?
Yes.
That day, dang.
Since it reopened earlier in the afternoon, the attraction had operated well, but still remained about 50 groups behind the average pace. Throwing out early operations and a recent 4:30 p.m. closure for Magic Kingdom was on pace to be the worst operating day.
Huh.
So just to give you an idea, at about 8:10 that day, Tron had processed 100 boarding groups when it typically hits the 100-group mark at about 4:15 p.m.
Well, that sounds like Rise of the Resistance back in the day. It was like you could never get to 100.
Right, that would have been a good day for Rise.
Right, back in the day, it was
just
like,
to make it
oh,
to
it 100. Got to 100? Wow, it hit triple digits for once.
Yeah.
Because it used to be like if you got a boarding group like 85 or something, you'd be like, ooh, I don't know if I'll get to ride it today.
There you go.
I remember those days.
You remember those days well?
80s, like, that's borderline. Whether it's
now you're just like, yeah, I might do Rise today. I might not.
Yeah, now it's like, yeah, I've done it. It's fine.
It's funny. It kind of lost its... I mean, it's still popular, obviously, because it has a long wait, but...
Yeah.
It's kind of lost its... I can't explain it. It's not as...
Repeatability.
Must-do, I guess, as maybe...
Well, for it two reasons. Like. One is because they still charge like an insane amount for the individual lightning lane for
true.
And the wait time doesn't justify the experience if you've done it a few times, you know.
I mean, I would probably wait in line for it, but I don't have know many people that would, so.
Yeah. And once you've done it, it's like the coolest part is the part where they rush you through when you first get captured and it's like, they're like shooing you into the next room and like, dang, I want to hang out here for like 30 minutes. Can I just stand in here?
Have any of us personally rope dropped it that I can think of?
I have never rope dropped it.
Since it's been standby?
I've never waited standby for it.
Well, I did.
Well, I mean, I guess, have I when it was maybe during COVID?
I waited a really long time.
Oh, it was still boarding group then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've never done standby.
Yeah, I did standby and the rider swap. So Lynn and Maddie actually didn't have to wait very long at all the very first time we did it.
Right. How long did you wait?
I don't remember now. Maybe 90 minutes.
Okay.
Maybe.
I was going to say the longest I waited for anything was during COVID prior to Genie Plus coming back or whatever. And he kind of skipped a line coming back.
Those waits weren't that long most of the time.
Well, Smuggler's Run, because it was standby only, we waited like 90 minutes for it. And they had like a drink cart halfway through because it was such a long line. And it went backstage back in the day. Of course, I think Rise also went backstage for a while.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it was nuts.
So the Polynesian Village DVC Tower update... They're doing some painting on it.
Really?
And the pool progress is starting to look a little more like it fits in with the paint on it. I said a little more like.
Right. I mean, if it looks like the...
It actually looks more like it fits in Coronado right now.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It looks kind of like... I feel like everything is being modeled after Grandestino. Even Epic Universe, their tower hotel looks to me exactly like Grandestino. What ifs? What ifs mean? I like Grandestino, and so I'm saying is like I think this is great, but
you're saying you don't want everything to be Grandestino.
Yeah, If this is Polynesian, it should look like the Polynesian.
Uniqueness to it.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I think the only resorts that I could think of that had similarities before was Wilderness Lodge and Animal Kingdom Lodge, and
right.
they were designed by the same people, so it kind of
makes
sense.
Very similar vibe, but different theme.
So, Storybook Circus construction, smell-o-fants incoming, apparently.
Okay. This part of that a $60 billion investment.
Right, yeah.
Sorry.
So, apparently, Scentsy is sponsoring a new experience at Storybook Circus, which is one of these. So, it's like a search and sniff adventure, I guess. That's what it must be for the queue.
It looks like it's not going to go in this queue space, though. It's going to go
outside.
Is this
really necessary?
No. Is this going to be a Magic Band Plus thing, though, I wonder, where you interact with it that way?
Could be.
That's what I was wondering. Like, you can wave the thing or whatever, and it's like, scorch you with smell. I don't know how to... I don't know how... It releases a smell.
Hopefully nothing like Figment and Journey into Imagination.
Right. Yeah. There's a slot machine. If you get the triple skunk, you know, you never know. But anyway.
I've seen a video recently of how well the Tiana's attraction is coming along. It's starting to look like it's taking shape outside, at least.
Yeah.
So, the greenery.
Right. I was going to say the foliage and greenery looks like a Bob Ross painting or something.
Looks like the mountain started growing some grass, I guess.
Green, green grass, blue, blue sky.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Let's see. What's something else we could move along? I guess we could talk about how the Disney and the CFTOD argue over the relevance of the federal lawsuit, but that could go on forever. We don't want to bore people with those details.
Yeah. This until there's something concrete here.
Yeah, something one way or the other.
Right. It's like, it's just going to go back and forth for years, probably.
Well, like most things in politics do.
Right. Takes forever.
They have a tendency to drag out, almost like it's they plan it that way. Anyway.
And you're not one of those that thinks the Super Bowl is rigged, do you? Rigged.
That's just funny to me when I see stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because a team that has won it twice, I mean, they didn't say that back when the Patriots were making a run, so I don't understand.
Right. But this has Taylor Swift involved now, because...
Therefore it's rigged.
Right.
Speaking
of Taylor Swift, oh.
Yeah, I know, we could transition.
Sorry,
I kind of want to save that till just a little bit later.
Sorry, didn't mean to bring that up prematurely.
Sure you didn't.
Didn't mean to frighten you prematurely.
Yeah, you don't ever mean to do anything prematurely.
Hopefully not. I mean, if I'm building a lightsaber... Oh, okay, sorry. Not to go back to that.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, never mind. We'll drop the Super Bowl talk.
We'll come back to it, because you've already seen the Super Bowl, and blank
I've already
won.
Seen it?
At this point,
at the time of this is posted, right?
Yeah, and wouldn't you know?
I know, here we go. I'll say the Kansas City Chiefs, and then I'll also say the San Francisco 49ers, and then you can just pick which one.
Right. I can't change it after the fact. Anyway.
You can change it before you post it. Just that one spot. Anyway.
Can you believe that game, though? What a game.
It was awesome. I tell you. The commercials. Yeah. I mean.
Oh, man. Epic. Epic Games commercials. Oh, sorry. Another segue.
So Disney had an earnings call. So the Disney experiences post a $9.1 billion quarter one in revenue.
Mm-hmm.
A 7% year-over-year growth. Disney experiences, I don't know exactly what that's supposed to mean. It took home $3.1 billion in operating income. So the domestic parks, what were you about to say? I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say Q1 for them is the October to December.
Right, which a lot of companies do that.
Yes.
It's not annually. It's
right.
So it was the end of last year, basically, is their first quarter. Right.
Their fiscal Q1.
Fiscal year. Yeah.
Right.
So the Disney Parks and Experiences, the decrease in operating income at our domestic parks and experiences reflected lower results at our domestic parks and resorts, largely offset by higher results at Disney Cruise Line. interesting.
Yeah, and which makes sense. They've got an extra ship now, and they're kind of back to full capacity boats or ships now. Sorry, not boats.
At so it said, at our domestic parks and resorts, lower results in the current quarter compared to the prior quarter were due to a decrease at Walt Disney World Resort, reflecting a modest decrease in revenues and higher costs. The impacts were due to lower volumes due to decreases in attendance and occupied room nights, both of which reflected the comparison to the 50th anniversary celebration in the prior year quarter.
Yeah,
it's
but
a good
still,
excuse, but I don't think that's entirely true.
This holiday season was way busier than the previous year, so it felt busier anyway.
Right, like I said, it's a good excuse. I don't think it's entirely true.
Yeah. September may have been lighter than the previous year, so that may have been the decrease, but hey, still.
Higher costs due to inflation, partially offset by cost-saving initiatives and lower depreciation. Increased guest spending due to higher average ticket prices, partially offset by lower average daily room rates. Which are the average daily room rates really that low?
No.
I mean, it didn't like it to me. It don't seem like it now. I mean, I know they're discounted from what they're, but I mean, if you set it at one price that's way above where it was and then you discount it, sure, it looks like it's lower, but it's still not. It's not year over year.
Yeah.
So. And apparently Disneyland was comparable to the prior year as revenue growth was largely offset by an increase in cost. And no reason to go too deep into this after that. It seems like their international parks did the better business overall, interestingly enough. But I think they were kind of open for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, that's what I was
on a regular basis.
Hong Kong and Shanghai in particular were the two that they closed a lot last year because of COVID spikes and whatnot. So,
and now it's pretty much been open for a while, so I'm sure it helps.
The being open can make
money
if you're not open. So definitely makes a difference.
All right, so one of the big things in here was the that Disney had announced that it had acquired a $1.5 billion equity stake.
And Epic Games.
I feel like a lot of their games or their ventures into the games in the past were kind of like novelty items almost. Does that make sense?
You mean Disney's?
Yeah.
Games over?
Because you kind of had to have already been a fan of Disney, I guess, to even to get most of them. I know they had a slew of games back in the day revolving around the Disney afternoon things that were pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember. On the, on Super Nintendo?
This was the NES, actually.
Oh, was
the
it?
Regular Nintendo, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
DuckTales was not so great, but Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers was fun.
Okay.
And then, what was the one that followed that? There was another one. Did they do it? No, Tailspin wasn't that great.
Really?
Of a game.
I remember...
I guess maybe Rescue Rangers was the best one.
Like, Super Nintendo had, like, Aladdin, The Lion King.
Yeah, those were pretty
good. Some of those that were really good. Then, so, in that same vein, I know it's not Epic Games, obviously, but it was fairly new game. Mickey, it's like Illusion Island or something is the game. And I got it for my kids for Christmas, and we had a lot of fun playing that, actually.
Okay.
It's like the Mickey cartoon shorts, kind of the Mickey and Goofy and Donald and Minnie, and you can do 4-player co-op. It's side scroller kind of Mario type thing. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, but it's not Epic Games made by them. But...
Yeah, so I'm gonna say, so in addition to being a world class games experience and interoperating with Fortnite, the new persistent
that's the big one.
Yeah, new persistent universe will offer a multitude of opportunities for consumers to play, watch, shop, and engage with content, characters, and stories from Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, Avatar, and more. Players, gamers, and fans will be able to create their own stories and experiences, express their fandom in a distinctly Disney way, and share content with each other in ways that they love.
Yeah, I could see my kids getting into that because they love Fortnite, even though they're too young for that, but they know people that play it. Minecraft, stuff like that, they're into those type of open world type things and where you can create your own character and, of course, pay money to upgrade them and change their outfits and all this stuff. So, yeah.
All right.
They'd be all about that.
So that was like a...
They're a little late to the party on that, but better late than never, I guess.
So that was a pretty big announcement there.
It's a lot of money, too.
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe the stock didn't move the needle on this particular announcement just because of the amount of money involved. I think it's probably a big risk overall, but it could turn out to be a good thing.
It could pay off, though. It definitely could pay off.
Yeah.
You could see that.
Going along with this and the Q2 earnings, attendance decreases, guest spending increases, apparently. So overall, top line revenue is up 7% compared to the prior year quarter, thanks to a 35% bump in revenue at the international parks.
Right,
and domestically,
for being open.
Right, but yeah, good part of it. Domestically, operating income dropped 2% year over year. So, yeah, basically, like what we were saying earlier, they were being open made a big, huge difference.
Right.
So it's kind of a deceptive number, really.
Sure. Right? That's their thing right now, though, is more with less, like deception. Less crowds, but.
I thought you were going to say their thing was deception.
Well, I guess. It's more, you know, get more money out of fewer guests.
Yeah. All right. So sticking with the call, we're trying to get down to the nitty gritty of it because there was a lot to unpack there. 70% of Disney's investment over the next decade at theme parks will be for expansions.
Yeah. It was kind of coded language, but you could decipher.
Right, yeah. The new CFO, Hugh Johnston, he noted that Disney will continue to spend roughly $60 billion over the next decade. And then the point brought out by him is 70% of that figure will be for incremental capacity expanding investments around the globe, is the quote. Of course, Iger's expressed this in the past in a very CEO-type way. Things like expanding Galaxy's Edge and Pandora, or those expansions, I should say, were great ways to grow the theme park business. I'm wondering now if maybe they're not considering, since the Star Cruiser is so close to Galaxy's Edge, if they're not thinking of maybe expanding Galaxy's Edge out to the hotel and using that building as part of an expansion of Galaxy's Edge.
If nothing else, use the restaurant.
Yeah.
Expand
as an idea.
Yeah,
but I mean, because they already have a direct access, even though they used a bus. Excuse me, I'm sorry, a transport.
Yes. Shuttle transport.
Yes. To Galaxy's
Edge. Shuttle Tidarium.
Oh. Yes. But I mean, it can't be that far away, right? So
it's not far. Yeah.
They could possibly make it an expansion of Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, I think the only thing is, right, it's the cast member, like, parking lot or entrance it goes right through that. So either you got to go over it or under it or reroute the cast member entrance, but you could probably do that. It's not going to be that hard.
And it seems as though in this particular category, Josh D'Amaro basically just reinforced the Dino Land re-theme and the Beyond Big Thunder project, pretty much.
Yeah.
So
I gotta say, I mean, D23 is later this year, and they better deliver some, because
I don't know if they're gonna be able to.
They've got nothing.
Hopefully, they have a surprise up their sleeve.
I hope so, because
why did they save Taylor Swift for that?
Yeah, maybe they need Taylor Swift to make the parks panel announcements instead of Josh D'Amaro.
So interesting about the expansion, though. But this seems as though Bob dodged, right?
Yeah.
Theme park expansion, as far as considering opening a whole new park. He tried to dance around that one.
I don't think he said much about the parks at all in terms of the expansions, though. Just that was what the CFO made that previous comment. It was very vague.
Right.
So.
Because, you know, obviously with Epic Universe coming, that's gonna be one of the questions to come up with. But
yeah. How are you going to respond to Epic Universe in 5 to 7 years from now?
Yeah, I was going to say, because you can't do it immediately, so.
Give them a 5-year head start.
No, they did respond to Wizarding World rather quickly, but they also started kind of building it around the same time in that particular instance.
Avatar?
The Fantasyland expansion was going on around the same time. I don't know if that's considered a really big one, but.
Right, that was shortly after Harry Potter opened, but then shortly after that was Avatar, so.
Because I think the Harry Potter, wasn't it in 12 or was it 11? No, it was in 11, wasn't it? Might have been 10, actually. It might have been sooner than that.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So they have updated a list of notable parks and experiences projects through 2026.
Yes. Yes. I looked at that list.
Yeah, it's not...
There's not much on it.
Not very stellar by any means.
That's a misleading headline if I've ever seen one.
Yeah. Some of these I think we've already done. What was the update? I guess they have a more solid... They feel comfortable that Communicore Hall is going to be done this year, I guess.
Yeah, I'm like... I thought they were kind of teasing that would be done last year at some point. You know, they're like, oh, well, it'll be...
Epcot's like... You know, like we said before, joking about it, when Walt said that Epcot was never going to be finished, they took it literal.
This construction will never be finished. Like, good golly.
They took it to a new level.
Wow.
The one that I kind of find interesting on the Walt Disney World list, though, is the new Star Tours characters and stories.
Mm-hmm.
So they feel like they're going to update this yet again, Ahsoka. It sounds like.
Yeah,
you think they're going to add Ahsoka?
Yeah, they mentioned, I think they specifically said Ahsoka.
You know, really a change that I would like to see is since they have all these other adventures, I would like to see them add the retro adventure into the mixture. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Or at least like parts of it, like maybe, you know, like the comment part or something.
Obviously, you can't bring it back exactly because, you know, Trippio's in Rex's seat, so.
Yeah, Rex is DJing now, so he can't break away from that.
So you still got to find a way to keep 3PO in there, but plus
you could do the same scene like in the comment, like I said, or something or whatever, or the Death Star trench run thing. That would be fun.
They could just run Rex in B mode,
and just have 3PO do Rex's lines. Like, why not do that?
We could do that. Like I said, or they could run Rex in B mode. Like, you know, like if he wasn't working, didn't they just have him up on the screen? I think it was his B mode.
Oh, okay.
You know, he had
probably.
I think it was. I think they had a B mode for him.
Did they?
It was just very rare it had to be used back then because, you know, B-modes never had to be used for anything back then. The things actually worked like they were supposed to, for the most part. So, yeah, apparently the new Star Tours characters is the main one because it seems to be going across the board. It's going to the international parks as well and in Disneyland. So it must be the part that was really updated from the previous list. And the third Wish class ship, I think, to be completed in 2026.
Oh. Yep.
All right, so that was, nothing too spectacular. 1900 Park Fair's reopening.
Yeah, that's been closed for a while too, hasn't it?
Yes. I don't know why. I guess there
were refurbishment,
re-theming the whole thing.
Certainly needed it because the last time I was there, it was in terrible shape.
I've never eaten there.
Yeah, I've done the. I'll put it this way: it's barely a step above Hollywood and Vine, which isn't a huge compliment. Yeah. Not a great breakfast.
So here are basically the things you can look for upon its return. Which will it be done by the time you hear this? Good possibility. I don't know. So the characters, you're going to be joined by Aladdin, Cinderella, Mirabelle, and Tiana.
Oh, that's new.
And apparently Tiana's going to be in her new look for the Bayou Adventure.
Interesting.
The buffet will be served for breakfast and dinner, and featuring guest favorites like the strawberry soup, which I don't know if you ever had the strawberry soup there.
I've only done the character breakfast, not the dinner.
Okay.
So
it says look for nods to the restaurant's heritage that are going to be in the new display.
I'm a little disappointed that Mary Poppins isn't coming back because she was the highlight to me.
Well, and it was like the only place you could see her, right? Pretty much.
Right. Maybe a parade or something, but
Disney's kind of taking it out with the old and in with the new type approach here, it sounds like, with some of these
characters.
I guess,
but didn't they just do a movie about Mary Poppins? Like, you can't do the...
Yeah, but did it do well?
I mean, not great, did it? Mary Poppins Returns. But I mean, I don't know, Moana didn't do, like, super great in theaters, so that doesn't mean it's not a good movie, and it, like, exploded on Disney+, so Mary Poppins, I don't know. Anyway,
Well, it's an interesting choice, I guess. I don't know if they're just trying to make it diverse, maybe, because Aladdin and his Prince Ali, and then Cinderella, and then Mirabelle, and then Tiana. So maybe they're trying to make it as diverse as possible.
Possibly, but thematically, wouldn't you think Mary Poppins should still fit in there instead of Cinderella? I don't know.
I don't know what it's going to look like.
Because you can see Cinderella at Cinderella's royal table, so I don't know. That's an odd choice. I would switch out Cinderella with Mary Poppins, but whatever. Because it used to be Mary Poppins and, like, Winnie the Pooh characters, I thought, or... No, who was it? Anyway.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Typhoon Lagoon has a reopening date. Apparently, it's going to be March 17th. So, it's weird because they're going to just swap them out, basically. Typhoon Lagoon's going to open and Blizzard Beach is going to close, so... Which is unusual because I would think they would need them to be open. I guess they're going to wait closer to the summer. Probably going to be a short refurbishment for the one in March. Because I feel like they would want to have them both open by at least spring break, right? I mean,
you would think, but they kind of, they've been doing this lately where they just offset them like back and forth, but whatever.
So some topiaries are out because the Flower and Garden Festival is right around the corner.
Right. Yeah. It's so, like already Flower and Garden time. It's crazy.
Right.
Half the year anyway is Flower and Garden Festival these days, so.
Yeah, they just started so early. It used to be, what, May, I think, when they started this?
Something like that. Now it's February to like, it's late February to like June, July, like almost July 4th.
Kind of crazy. So apparently they do have a really neat Tinkerbell topiary out. Kind of cool. It doesn't really look like it's a true topiary, though. Are we sure this is made of all natural?
No, they are.
It just kind of looks like it's looks fake.
I think it's fake. No, it's made out of plant material.
It's a fake.
Yeah, they look good. I like the topiaries.
Like, thank God. It's a fake.
You can tell by the cross sections.
All right, so kind of to top things off at the end, right? I think one of the biggest things is Disney's stock took a jump.
Yeah.
This past week. And seemingly, was it because of the...
all the announcements?
Epic Games announcement, or was it all of them together? Or is it perhaps the partnership that they announced with one Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, she's talented, but I'm trying to figure out, what was it at the Grammys? She was the first person to win
four albums.
Four album of the years? I'm not trying to take anything away from her talent. She's obviously very talented, but I think it speaks more of the lack of competition in this era than it does. I mean, because back in the day, there was way more competition. She seems to be heads and tails above everybody else, it seems like, right now in this era.
I mean, she's a...
Yeah, like that's what I said. I'm not trying to take anything away from that, but I don't think it's... I think it's... It doesn't speak as much to how good she really is as it is to how there's not very many other people that you can think of that could take that spot in today's world. So, but I'm not trying to take away from her talent. That's not my intention by saying that. I just feel like there's not that much competition right now. It's not her fault.
Well, even if there was competition, she made like over $1 billion last year, didn't she, on that tour or something?
I think she's cast a spell on people.
Yeah. And, you know, she helped the Chiefs win the Super Bowl or, you know, whatever. She didn't and they lost. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever happened last night, you saw it. You saw the game, right?
Right.
Crazy game.
So this is pretty smart by Disney for their streaming services anyway. The announcement that the Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour, the Taylor's Version concert film, will be exclusively available to stream on Disney Plus starting in March. Yeah. So that should give a pretty good shot to Disney Plus, maybe. I really can't guarantee anything these days because...
Yeah.
I mean, even the Swifties, is that going to be enough to motivate them to say if they don't already have Disney Plus to buy Disney Plus?
Because if you're a Swiftie, you've already paid whatever you have to watch this movie in theaters. Wasn't it in theaters?
Yeah, it was.
The thing. So it's like you've already seen it. But if you want to see it again, yeah, I guess you're going to get Disney Plus if you don't already have it.
Now, so, sending the Moana sequel, yeah, sending the Moana sequel to theaters will probably, it'll probably earn some money in the theaters this time around. I mean, I would go see that one. And it's supposed to come out later this year, so apparently they were already working on that one.
That's weird, yeah.
It seemed like it came out of nowhere.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Did they just abandon the live-action thing and, like, let's just keep making it digital or animated?
How long ago was that interview that The Rock had was saying he was going to do live-action?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago, I didn't think, but...
Speaking of streaming...
Yeah.
Disney says they have increased operating income within the segment by 86% and still plan on becoming profitable by this fall. I think that might be a little optimistic, but we'll see. Maybe they think Taylor's going to carry them into the fall.
Putting all their chips on that. Interesting.
I mean, that's what it kind of sounds like, doesn't it? So
yeah.
And so it caused the stock to jump after this.
Yeah, it did.
So I guess we will see if that sustains itself or if it was just a temporary jump.
Yeah.
Because I'm still not 100% convinced that what they're taking is going to get the results they want as quickly as they would like, but time will tell.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good time to still get into the, well, it was a good time prior to the announcements to get into the stock, but.
Yes,
if you had insider trading knowledge.
Yeah. If you already had a bunch of stock, like.
Yeah. So they're actually, speaking of the stock, though, Disney board has actually approved a $3 billion buyback for the first time since 2018. And apparently $3 billion is just a start. So.
Is that to kind of stave off some of these folks that are trying to get seats on the board and stuff?
Could play into it. I don't know.
I should look more into that.
Is it gonna work is the question.
Yeah.
Don't know. All right. Well, I think we've taken up enough time for this week. What do you think? We've kind of caught up and covered some ground.
Indeed.
Indeed. Of course, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store, which you can find your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We also have a YouTube channel. Not too many updates there lately. Maybe I can, put something out there here soon, though. Where else can you find that, Adam?
Our website, which is travelingwithamouse.com. We also have email address, podcast@travelingwithamouse.com, where you can also find a link to a travel agent friend there. You can find all of that on our website, travelingwithamouse.com.
So for Adam, my name is John, and this has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope that you will join us on our next trip or journey. Or whatever you would say.
Or voyage.
Voyage.
Of the Little Mermaid.
That, or Voyage of the Wish.
Mm-hmm. Or the treasure, or the, what was the?
It's a big treasure. A wish number, a wish class one later on, basically.
What's the third ship called, the giant one? Not the third ship, but the.
I didn't think they had named it.
The one that. I thought they had a name for the one that they basically bought, or Chapek bought. The Adventure, that's the one I was thinking.
Oh.
The one that's going to do Southeast Asia. Giant ship that Chapek bought that looks nothing like the other Disney ships. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I mean, that was not a bad move because that was one that it kind of helped you put another ship out quicker.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but it looks nothing like the other ships, but maybe that's not a bad thing.
What do you mean it looks nothing like? I'm sure it's going to have the same similar colors.
I mean, the outside will look, but it's a gigantic, like, mega ship.
It's much bigger than the other ships.
Yeah.
Such a pretty boat.
Ship. Yeah.